dedicated to people like me, those that struggle with insecurities, acceptance, and even self-esteem. You never felt good enough, you never felt pretty enough, but imagine God whispering in your ear, letting you know that everything that has happened is now.
chapter for us on last week, and I was glad he did. It was an excellent chapter, and had I thought about it, I would have replayed that again on tonight, because I think that particular chapter bears going over again. And a judgmental, critical, and suspicious mind is also an excellent chapter. So I want us to go over this chapter, but like I said, I kind of wanted, like, you know, the regulars to be here on tonight, and sometimes I know to get in around about 5:30, a little shortly thereafter. So what we're going to do is we're going to go over, I guess we can go over some of the questions from last week that we didn't get a chance to go over in, as far as the anxious and worried mind, chapter 12, are concerned. And it's a lot of scripture reading. This is one of the things about this book that I really like. It's a lot of scriptures that she just doesn't throw stuff out there to give you, but it's a lot of word. It's the word of God. So if you don't, you know, mind, then we can go over some of the questions, and, you know, you can ponder these things, and then you can, you know, go over them at your leisure and, you know, just check it out. I know myself, I need to go back over chapter 12 myself and read that over again, as I've been facing challenges this past week and somewhat beyond that. So, you know, anxious and worried mind is something that we all need to be aware of and watch out for. So before we start, let's just go into a word of prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to come in and help us on tonight. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Holy Spirit, we just ask you to come and help us with this broadcast on tonight. In the name of Jesus, Father, we bind and rebuke every spirit that is not of you, every hindering spirit, every lying spirit, every spirit that is not of you, we bind and rebuke it and take authority over it right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just say thank you, Lord, and give you glory and give you praise and give you honor in the name of Jesus. We thank you so much, Lord God, and we say amen, 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 amen. Okay, again, I want to talk about the question from chapter 12, an anxious and worried mind. Question 1 says, read Psalm 37, verse 8, Galatians 5:22, John 15, verse 4, Matthew 6:25-34, Philippians 4, verse 6, and 1 Peter 5:7. And A is, what are anxiety and worry? B, what is peace? And C, how do we get the peace of God? Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches, John 15:5. How long can a branch survive if it is broken off the vine? When we abide in him, Jesus, and we enter the protection and rest of God, the life of abiding is a peaceful, restful, and fruitful life. Enter in and enjoy your life while God works on your problems. Question 2. It says, read Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, and John 10, verse 10. It says, question A, 2A is, according to these verses, how is life intended to be? And question 2B says, why does Satan attack us with worry? Question 3, read Matthew 6, verses 25-30. And it says, what does this passage of Scripture teach us about worry? Question 4, read Matthew 6:31 and Matthew 12:34. The enemy knows that if he can get enough of the wrong things going on in our mind, what will eventually happen? Question 5, read Matthew 6:32-33. The world seeks after things. What are we to seek? Question 6, read Matthew 6:34. Why shouldn't we spend today worrying about tomorrow? Question 7, read Philippians 4:6, Hebrews 4:12, and Ephesians 6:17. The word of God is our sword. Why must it be wielded against the enemy? Question 8, read 2 Corinthians 10:5. What is the single most effective weapon that can be used to win the war against worry and anxiety? Question 9, read 1 Peter 5:6-7. And 9a says, why is a person who worries not a humble person? And 9b says, what should our first response be in every situation? Number 10, read 2 Chronicles 20:12-17. Read John 14:27. Read Matthew 11:29 and Matthew 6:34. The question 10a, what should our position be in adversity? Question 10b, there is no such thing as peace without opposition. Explain. And question 10c, how does being at peace, enjoying the rest of God in the midst of the storm, give glory to God? 11. Read Hebrews 13:5 and Psalms 37:3. What is God letting us know in Hebrews 13:5? What has he promised in it? And 11b, what does Psalm 37:3 tell us about worry and how to handle it? Again, those are the questions from chapter 12, An Anxious and Worried Mind, from the book by Joyce Meyer, Battlefield of the Mind. And again, I said I like the fact that it has a lot of scriptures. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So, let me see if my people are here. Okay, so 5:22, and so far no one's here. What we're going to do is, if I don't have any callers, not callers, but any of my regulars in by 5:30, we're going to reschedule this until next Monday, because, again, I really don't want to start this next chapter without having the regulars here, because it's a lot of information, and I'd like to get feedback from those who normally participate. If you're listening, if you've clicked on through Google Plus and you're listening, if you'd like to call in, the call-in number is area code 323-693-3054. Again, that's area code 323-693-3054. And you may call that number and press the number 1, and I will get you on the air by dialing that number, pressing number 1, I'll place you in to the caller queue, and we can get you on the air. Some of the things we did talk about in the past, as far as this book is concerned, chapter 2, chapter 2 is a vital necessity, and I wrote down a lot of notes in this book. You cannot have a positive life and a negative mind. You can't have a positive life and a negative mind. One is going to negate the other, and that has everything to do with being judgmental, critical, and suspicious. Okay? So, we have to remember that you can't have both. It's either one or the other. If you're going to live a positive life, you have to speak a positive life. You can't have a positive life speaking negatively. It just doesn't work that way as much as we want it to. It just doesn't work that way, trust me. when I say that, I know what I'm talking about. And believe me when I tell you that when I do these broadcasts, I'm first partaker. It seems like when I do these broadcasts, the enemy comes and attacks me, you know, firsthand to say, oh, that's what you're teaching, so let me see if you really believe what you're teaching. So when I, you know, I'm teaching these things, this is something that the Lord has given to me first, so that not only will I be able to just teach it, but I'll be able to understand as well, because, you know, a lot of times we, as teachers, we can read what it says in the book or whatever, but then when it comes to having to live it, it's a horse of another color. And for those of you who know me, who have been with us from the duration, from the beginning, I should say, of the book up until now, know me that my life is basically an open book, for the most part. My life is an open book, and I try to share my experiences with the audience because I like to let you know that, you know, it's not just you that's going through. Just because we teach the Word of God and, you know, teach out of other books and, you know, really our mainstay is the Word of God, but when we teach these things that many times the very thing that we're teaching about, we're confronted with immediately or soon after we do a teaching. So when you go to broadcasts like these, make sure you pray for the host of the program, because the host of the program, yeah, we usually catch it, but it's a learning experience for us. As we go through these things, and I don't think I would change it. I actually enjoy doing these broadcasts. Do I like the challenges? No. Do I like the way sometimes they make me feel? No. But at the same time, this is something that has to be done for my spiritual growth as well as yours. So, you know, we're here on tonight, and we're looking to see if we have anybody else that's going to come in, because again, I don't really want to go over this chapter without, you know, having people here so we don't have to actually go over this chapter again, because it is kind of lengthy. Well, I don't think it's as bad. It's about as many pages as it was last week. So we'll start on page 123, and then it ends on page 135. So, about, what, 8 pages. So, oh, I'm sorry, shoot. What did I say? 123. Oh, it's over 10 pages. That's over 10 pages. So, see, this is why I don't want to start this chapter until everybody's on board. But, I don't know, I guess you can hear my husband in the background with the grandchildren. Yeah, my husband here, the grandchildren are here, so they're having their little fun right now. There's an interesting chapter in this book called My Behavior May Be Wrong, But It's Not My Fault. Excuse me. And I'll be glad when we get to that chapter. My Behavior May Be Wrong, But It's Not My Fault. And that's where we, you know, we go off and use excuses to behave badly. And I don't want to use any excuses to behave badly, but that's what we do sometimes. We use excuses to behave badly. I'm almost tempted to go to that chapter tonight, but I'm not going to. Then chapter 22 says, my life is so miserable. I feel sorry for myself because my life is so wretched. Yeah, we need to hurry up and get back to these chapters back here, because these are good. These are good. Anyway, so we have one person in the chat room that I can see. Thank you for joining us on tonight. If you have your Joyce, if you have a Joyce Meyer book, Battlefield of the Mind, we are supposed to be starting chapter 13 on tonight. I don't know if I should start chapter 13 on tonight because the regular group of people are not here. However, I guess we can just start reading because it is a very lengthy chapter, over 10 pages long. So I could start reading. If you are listening by way of Google or Skype, we are in Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Meyer, and we are in the hardback book, the commemorative edition, and we are on page 123, chapter 13. It's called A Judgmental, Critical, and Suspicious Mind. And the scripture for that chapter beginning is Matthew 7, verse 1, Judge not, that ye be not judged. And we know a lot of people use this scripture for various reasons, but that's the first scripture that she uses in this chapter. On tonight, Matthew 7, verse 1, judge not, that you be not judged. Okay? So I'll start reading. It says, much torment comes to people's lives because of judgmental attitudes, criticism, and suspicion. Multitudes of relationships are destroyed by these enemies. Once again, the mind is the battlefield. Thought, just I think, can be the tool the devil uses to keep a person lonely. People do not enjoy being around anyone who needs to voice an opinion about everything. Sometimes we are more concerned about telling people what we think than we are about listening, learning, and building good relationships. That's a very good point. Everybody don't need to hear your opinion. Even you may think your opinion is good in all situations, but everybody does not need to hear your opinion. My opinion, we a lot of times just need to put a clamp on it and let God take care of it. She says, to illustrate, I once knew a woman whose husband was a very wealthy businessman. He was generally very quiet, and she wanted him to talk more. He knew a great deal about a lot of things. She would get angry at him when they were in a group of people and someone would start a conversation on a subject about which her husband could have knowledgeably contributed much insight. He could have told them everything he knew, but he wouldn't. One evening, after he and his wife had returned home from a party, she chastised him, saying, why didn't you speak up and tell the people what you know about what they were talking about? You just sat there and acted as if you didn't know anything at all. I already know what I know, he replied. I try to be quiet and listen so I can find out what others know. Joy says, I would imagine that this was precisely why he was wealthy. He was also wise. Few people gain wealth without wisdom, and few people have friends without using wisdom in relationships. Being judgmental, opinionated, and critical are three sure ways to see relationships dissolve. Satan, of course, wants you and me to be lonely and rejected, so he attacks our minds in these areas. This chapter hopefully will help us recognize wrong thought patterns as well as learn how to deal with suspicion. Learn how to deal with suspicion. Good evening, caller 803-815. If you have a question or comment, please feel free to press the number 1. You will be placed into the caller queue, and we will get you on the line. All right. Okay, we are on page 124, Judging Defined. In Vine's expository dictionary of Old and New Testament words, one of the Greek words translated as judgment is partially defined as a decision passed on the faults of others, and is cross-referenced to the word condemnation. According to this same source, one of the Greek words translated judge is partially defined as to form an opinion and is cross-referenced to the word sentence. God is the only one who has the right to condemn or sentence. Therefore, when we pass judgment on another, we are, in a certain sense, setting ourselves up as God in his life. Oh, So when we start passing judgment on people, we're setting ourselves up as God in his life. She says, I don't know about you, but that puts a little godly fear in me. I have a lot of nerve, but I'm not interested in trying to be God. These areas were once a major problem in my personality, and I believe I will be able to share some things God has taught me that will help you. Criticism, opinions, and judgments all seem to be relative, so we will discuss them together as one giant problem. She says, I was critical because I always seemed to see what was wrong instead of what was right. We should underline that. She said, I was critical because I always seemed to see what was wrong instead of what was right. Some personalities are more given to this fault than others. Some of the more jovial personality types do not want to see anything but the happy or fun things in life, so they really don't pay much attention to the things that could spoil their enjoyment. The more melancholy personality or the controlling personality often sees what's wrong first. Generally, people with this type of personality are generous in sharing their negative opinions and outlook with others. Generally, they're generous in sharing their negative opinions and outlook with others. Okay? These are people that are melancholy, you know, always sad, always got a problem kind of thing. She said, we must realize that we have our own way of seeing things. We like to tell people what we think, and that is exactly the point. What I think may be right for me, but not necessarily right for you, and vice versa. We all know, of course, that thou shalt not steal is right for everyone, but I'm speaking here of thousands of things we encounter every day that are neither right nor wrong necessarily, but are simply personal choices. I might add that these are choices that people have a right to make on their own without outside interference. Maybe we can stop there and just think of some things that, you know, we would like to see people stop doing. It may not necessarily be right or wrong, but it's something that we have put our opinion on and think they should stop doing or should start doing. I'm guilty. I can raise my hand on that one. Joyce Meyer says, my husband and I are extremely different in our approach to many things. How to decorate a house would be one of those things. It isn't that we don't like anything the other one chooses, but if we go out to shop for household things together, it seems Dave always likes one thing and I like something else. Why? Simply because we are two different people. His opinion is just as good as mine, and mine is just as good as his. They are simply different. She said, it took me years to understand that there wasn't something wrong with Dave just because he did not agree with me. And, of course, before I learned better, I usually let him know that I thought there was something wrong with him because he did not share my opinion. Obviously, my attitude caused much friction between us and hurt our relationship. I'm sure I can identify with that. I can identify with that, been there, done that. Not a good feeling, but, you know, sometimes I just tend to think my opinion's right. My opinion is right. And if you don't agree with my opinion, your opinion's wrong. I don't think too many people would like to admit that, but that's the truth. You know, especially as a woman, we like to tend to think that our opinion is right no matter what. Excuse me for one moment. I'm sorry, y'all. It's cold up here in Philadelphia, but it's hot where I am. I'm just trying to get it adjusted so I can finish reading this book. And we want to continue to pray for the East Coast, New York, New Jersey, who were hit very bad by this storm, very aptly named Sandy. We don't want to forget about these people who have lost everything. And we want to make sure we pray for them and ask God to provide their needs. Some people are still without electricity. Some people are still homeless because they actually lost their homes. So we just want to put it out there to pray for those people who really took a beating from this storm, Sandy. Also, I'm not a political person whatsoever, and I don't have an opinion as to who people should vote for. I would just suggest you go out and vote on tomorrow, Election Day. So that's enough about that. Oh, also, if you're listening to this broadcast and this broadcast has been a blessing to you, I would ask that you would prayerfully consider being a blessing to us this month. And if you can, to help us to pay for this broadcast for the month of November. This is, I believe, the first time that I'm soliciting help for the payment of this broadcast this month. And if you can do so, would you please contact me via Facebook, Teresa, God is making me over again, Scott. And I will give you the information if God lays it on your heart to be a blessing to us. Blog Talk Radio did extend me until the 10th of this month before they cut me down to 30 minutes. So if this broadcast has been a blessing to you, would you prayerfully consider blessing us this month with a financial blessing so that we can continue the broadcast? Amen. All right. I just wanted to get to them before I forgot. Neil, let's go on. We are on 125, page 125. It says pride, an I problem. You know, as an I, the letter I, me, my. Okay. Romans 12:3 says, I warn everyone among you not to estimate and think of himself more highly than he ought, not to have an exaggerated opinion of his own importance, but to rate his ability with sober judgment, each according to the degree of faith apportioned by God to him. So the King James Version says, just don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Okay? Judgment and criticism are fruit of a deeper problem, and that problem is called pride. When the I in us is bigger than it should be, it will always cause the kinds of problems we are discussing. The Bible repeatedly warns us about being high-minded. Repeatedly warns us about being high-minded. Trying to turn the page. Whenever we excel in an area, it is only because God has given us a gift of grace for it. If we are high-minded or have an exaggerated opinion of ourselves, then it causes us to look down on others and value them as less than we are. This type of attitude or thinking is extremely detestable to the Lord, and it opens many doors for the enemy in our lives. I'll read that one again. Whenever we excel in an area, it is only because God has given us a gift of grace for it. If we are high-minded or have an exaggerated opinion of ourselves, then it causes us to look down on others and value them as less than we are. This type of attitude or thinking is extremely detestable to the Lord, and it opens many doors for the enemy in our lives. Holy fear, Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. Brethren, if any person is overtaken in misconduct or sin of any sort, you who are spiritual, who are responsive to and controlled by the Spirit, should set him right and restore and reinstate him without any sense of superiority and with all gentleness, keeping an attentive eye on yourself, lest you should be tempted also. Bear, endure, carry one another's burdens and troublesome moral faults, and in this way fulfill and observe perfectly the law of Christ, the Messiah, and complete what is lacking in your obedience to do it. Or if any person thinks himself to be somebody too important to condescend to shoulder another's load, when he is nobody of superiority except in his own estimation, He deceives and deludes and cheats himself. Okay? But if any person thinks himself to be somebody when he is nobody, he deceives and deludes and cheats himself. She says, careful examination of these scriptures quickly reveal to us how we are to respond to the weakness we observe in others. It sets forth the mental attitude we are to maintain within ourselves. We must have a holy fear of pride and be very careful of judging others or of being critical of them. Who are we to pass judgment? Romans 14:4. Who are you to pass judgment on and censor another's household servant? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he shall stand and be upheld, for the master, the Lord, is mighty to support him and make him stand. So who are we to pass judgment on somebody else's servant? That's what the scripture is asking us. Who are we to pass judgment? I don't know. Hey, Shirley. I know, it's just us tonight. It may be some more other people on through Google, I don't know. But I was kind of trying to really hold back on reading all of this on tonight because this is a really good chapter, and I was kind of waiting for the rest of the people to come out to be on the broadcast tonight, but apparently, you know, they're not showing up. But it's okay. That'll give us a chance to just read it for ourselves, and then we can pick it up, Lord willing, on next week. I don't know which part the person left. You said, wow, once you asked that, they left real fast. I don't know what you're talking about because I'm usually not in the chat room. I usually click over to the studio because I don't like to see people when they leave and come in. Sometimes it can be a distraction. So I don't know if you're talking about the financial situation or what. But we just have to pray and believe God that it'll be taken care of because I believe this is something that is ordained by God to do. So if it is, it will be taken care of. So how do you feel about that, Miss Moore? All right, so I really, like, it's almost 6 o'clock, so what I really want to do, because my husband's not even on the line, he's dealing with the grandchildren, and, you know, a lot of the people are not here tonight. So what I think we're going to do is we did stop at page 126, and we read the chapter Romans, we read the scripture Romans 14:4. So what I think we're going to do is we're going to just stop here for tonight. And start again next week. We might even do it Wednesday. We'll see what happens. But Jesus is Lord, so we're not going to try to go over that, and we'll just go ahead and do it. So my sister is funny. She's funny. She said they left out of here real fast. Anyway. So, yeah. Don't forget to pray for those on the East Coast who lost everything. You know, some people are still going through because of Storm Sandy. Don't forget to go out and vote tomorrow. Whoever you decide to vote for, go out and vote on tomorrow. And remember to love one another and pray for one another. Do good to one another. Forgive quickly. Love hard. Remember that God forgave us for our sins. So when people do things against us, we need to go ahead and forgive them. Even though sometimes it seems kind of hard and you might want to go the fleshly route and, you know, kind of hurt them or get at them real good. You understand what I'm saying? we got to do things the way that God wants us to do it. You know. So pray much for us and the broadcast and the ministry. We are still looking for donations for Overington House so we can go to them this month and take them, you know, some goodies over there. So I should have more information for you about that on Wednesday, if the Lord sees fit for us to come back on Wednesday, we'll be here. God bless you, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm just going to play this song real quick for my sister. Let's see if I can find it. That's not it. I can't see it. I can't find it. Let's see. Let's see. Here it is. Okay.
You know, back in the day when we used to have testimony service, my mama would stand up on her feet and she'd throw her head back and sing songs like this. She said, how I got over, how I got over my soul. Run me through great trials and love me. keep young people around me. My 21-year-old nephew, Tim Bowman Jr., he's gonna show us how to sing it in the 21st century. Jimmy, how would you say it?
I said, God damn it, that power made it over. 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 God damn it, that power
made it over.
That's how I made it over.
Suggest you get this for your teens. For your teens. I think it's really good. Okay. So remember to read your Bible. Remember to love your neighbor. Remember to love God, most of all. And remember to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to come by, help you out. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Good night. Peace.